England. You're just getting up with Fog Radio going off. I think you'll find this hour and next to be quite interesting. Our guest who is in the studios with us, actually two guests. One is the Imam Waris Mohammed. He is the chief imam of the American Muslim Mission. For those of you who once knew the organization as the Black Muslims, not the name of it, but the name is the American Muslim Mission. Also with him is the regional imam, Ibrahim Pasha. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Very correct.
Thank you for both for joining us. The Imam Waris Mohammed is from Chicago, Illinois. He's with us in the studios this morning. There's a new book that he has written, relatively new, As the Light Shineth from the East. And it was sent to me by a very nice gentleman I've been in contact with who helped us set up this particular program today. And in reading the book, I found it to be quite interesting. It's a perfect, in fact, a perfect group of topics for a talk radio station. Some of the things that the book says that it covers, for instance, the facts, as he says, may shock you, the evolution of the Nation of Islam, the myths of the Bible, the first mother, the suicidal God, slavery and aftershock. We're going to talk about all of that, but first, welcome to Atlanta, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Mr. Young.
The idea of once your organization being called Black Muslim, Malcolm X, all of the notoriety that existed, that surrounded the Black Nation of Islam in the 1960s, that's gone now, I think.
Yes, the image has been completely changed. We had a image in the beginning, which was not known. We were not known for about 30 years. That image was one of spiritual people who were devoted to self-discipline, high morals, and strong family life, and commitment to bring about improvement in their life, to contribute to the improvement of the image of the race. Mm-hmm. And that changed during the 60s because of the militant protest and the civil rights movement. And the people were, you know, it seemed strange that as militant as our philosophy was, I'm saying now that the militant movement in, of the civil rights organization affected our movement, but it did.
So what's happened now? You put it back on the track that it originally was on.
Yes, yes. We kind of got into the habit of trying to win acceptance for ourselves and what is in the spirit and in the mood of what is popular, you know. So to show the fist, to show a menacing look on your face, to be daring, to be defiant. Well, that was popular in the 60s, and our organization kind of conformed to that, which it should have.
Let me pause for just a moment here. 10 minutes after the hour, as you can tell, we're going to have a very interesting show. Those of you who want to join us, we'll also be taking phone calls at 261-WRNG.
A perfect time to thank a friend. Enjoy your coffee and enjoy yourself.
Thank a brand of caffeinated coffee. Enjoy your coffee and your holiday.
The Jamarta Traffic Watch. At Memorial Drive and Boulevard, the traffic light is holding red on the Boulevard side. On I-85, the Northeast Expressway, moderate traffic around Northwood Hills Road, and it's moving about 40 to 50 miles an hour. It's moving steadily towards Lenox and Cheshire Bridge Road, but when you get around Piedmont Monroe Drive, the traffic slows down just slightly, getting into the Brookwood Interchange. At the I-20 Interchange, heavier traffic moving in from the south.
After the hour, the Imam Waris Mohammed, and as far as the most well-known, I would think, of all Islamic people, would have to be the Ayatollah Khomeini, just because of his notoriety, just because of, as most Americans see it, his stubbornness, if nothing else. What's the relationship between the Black Islam Nation here in the United States and the Islamic people over in the Middle East? Is there a relationship between the two of you?
Well, I believe so, because the Nation of Islam, because of its Black consciousness, strong Black consciousness, it's got the name for being a militant or Black Nation. And I think there is a similarity. The Shiite religion of Iran is very much like the theology, some aspects of the theology that we were given. That is a hierarchy of the world saviors. The Shiites, they have the see their leadership in Prophet Muhammad, as we all do. But after him comes Ali, his cousin, and from the leader, he was a khalifa too, a leader, after Prophet Muhammad. From him, they see the line, the leadership descending from him in 12 imams. And that's very much like what we were told, but the only thing, we were given something very far from the religion, far from the religion. We were told that this descendancy, line of leaders, were men, but yet divine, like God. They were gods. They were actually gods, you know.
These imams.
Yes, that's what we were told. They were actually gods. And that the one who, the mystic who taught my father, his name is Farad, we were told that he was the latest in that line of God.
Now, the interesting thing is that I suppose in the overall scope of things, we are all brothers because we are all men or all of the human race here on this planet. But you are a black American. The people that we normally think of, the first thing that comes to mind when we think of the Muslim sects, the Islamic nation, are Arabic people. They are of a different race than you or I. How does the Negro race tie in with the Arabic race as far as the Islamic nation?
Well, actually, as Muslims, we shouldn't see ourselves as being related to any race in particular, or any race to the exclusion of other races. We are equally related to all races. But when we talk about bloodline, then we have to identify with our ancestors of Africa, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Muslims are told that the ancestor for all people, the same thing that Christians and Jews are told, is Adam. For some people, Adam may represent or personify or typify something different from what we understand. For us, Adam is the innate human nature, the innate humanity of the person, born inborn humanity of the individual. We see Arabs as related to maybe a little closer related to us than Europeans, say someone of England, simply because the blood has mixed more. The African blood and the Arab blood has mixed more.
What I'm saying, had it not been for a loss of birth records, for example, a person who is Jewish in any part of the world could conceivably, logically trace his heritage all the way back to Abraham. At least that's what they will tell you, and we have reason to believe that.
Yes, right. Except that.
All right. Taking that into consideration, if the records were there, could you trace your lineage all the way back to the Arabic people? Could they trace their lineage to you? Are you somewhere?
Yes, somewhere we meet.
You meet?
It says somewhere we meet. We meet in the marriage of Abraham to Hagar. Hagar is believed to have been a black woman from Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And the Arabs trace their lineage back to Abraham's marriage to Hagar. And if Hagar was a black woman, then we have connection at that point.
Do you feel you're one of the 12 tribes of the Jewish
people? No, we don't get hung up in anything like that, you know. We feel that we are human beings, and we look at history and reality as it is, you know. And we don't place a lot of importance on ancestral nobility. It's in the nature of the human being. It's in Adam. It represents the human nature.
What's the role that you and that the black Islamic nation, the United States, should play today? What should they be doing?
We should be advancing the ideas, the fundamental ideas of our faith. But we should advance those ideas within the life of America, within the context of America, of the life of American people.
No revolutionary tactics.
And we should seek the areas of compatibility. And I find that fundamentally, we believe in the same thing. We believe in human dignity. We believe in respect for everybody. We believe in everybody should have equal opportunity. to cultural life and material means, equal access to cultural life and material means. So we don't have any reason to be enemies. We should be friends. But we are Americans, and we are Muslims.
One of the things that I think is interesting, you do not believe in integration. You believe in segregation for the most part.
We do believe in integration, but we believe in a natural integration of life. We believe that the earth is growing to become one.
All races?
The whole world is growing to become one.
One with what?
And one world. One world. With one respect for the common person, one respect for human excellence,
mm-hmm.
and that we with one system, so to speak, we believe that it will become eventually a single political system where people will have to compromise their ideas, their political principles, in order to live at peace in a world society. So we advocate and encourage people to come into global consciousness, because we see this as a principle of faith, as a principle of Christianity, Judaism, and our religion.
Let me interrupt for just a moment. We'll pause here at 7:20 on Ring Radio. Our guest is the chief imam of the American Muslim Mission, Warith D. Mohammed. We're at 261 WRNG. Phone lines are jammed up, as you might have guessed by now. It's 7:25 with our guest, the imam Warith Mohammed, also the regional imam of the American Muslim Mission. Ibrahim Pisha. Am I pronouncing that right? I want you to pronounce that for me.
Ibrahim Bacha.
Pasha.
Okay.
261 WRNG. We'll go to the telephones, as I said, in a minute. One, first, before we do it, a couple of very elementary questions dealing with the Islamic faith. You do not accept the Bible. You have the Quran. You do not accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, so to speak, because you're not Christian. You are Islamic. What is the order of your religion? What do you believe? Who was Muhammad? Where did he come from?
Yes, we believe in one God. We believe that God sent all the prophets of the Bible and even more, some that are not named in the Bible.
Isaiah and all of the other prophets
yes,
that we come
do.
To know.
We accept all of them. And we believe that Prophet Muhammad came in the line of the prophets, and that he's the last, and the seal of the prophets. That is, he came with the universalized, the religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the religion, when it's universalized. We believe that Christ Jesus was the holy prophet of God, and that he was a sign of the universalizing of faith.
So what about the predictions in all of these prophets? Because every one of the prophets in the Old Testament of what we accept as the Bible, what the Christian faith accepts as the Bible, predicted that Jesus Christ would send... that God would send Jesus Christ. They predicted that God would send his son to earth. Has that happened yet? Do you believe it's happened yet?
I'm speaking for myself now and our organization,
mm-hmm.
and our religious organization. Our religious organization has its own history, its own development in the context of faith and in the context of the Quran now. After 5 years, we've been living in the context of the Quran. So when I speak, don't think I'm speaking for all Muslims.
All right.
Yes. We believe that Jesus Christ is servant of God. And where the word term son is used, we believe that it is used just as a figurative expression to say he was an obedient servant of God. Like a son is obedient to an obedient son to his father.
What about the idea of the crucifixion, Jesus Christ being the intermediary between God and man, which of course is the tenet, the main idea and philosophy of the Christian religion? You do not accept that.
Again, we do accept that. But we accept also that Christ, in his obedience to God,
mm-hmm.
simply represents the state of consciousness that we all should have. And righteousness is the intermediator. If we listen to our righteous conscience, then it will be the intermediator for us and God.
You pray?
Yes. So it's a kind of Christ in myself.
Who do you pray to?
We pray to the same God that Christians pray to, the same God that Jews pray to. We pray to the God who created everything and who has supervision over everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, we'll go to the telephones at 261-WRNG. You might want to put on your headphones here so that we can hear the phone calls coming in.
All right, thank you.
And it's 729. You're on the air.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'd like to ask Imam Wazir D. Muhammad about his, Warf D. Muhammad about his book, As the Light Shines.
All right, what about the book?
Okay, I've read most of the book, and what the book contains, it mostly gives a negative picture of the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and W.D. Farad Muhammad.
So what is your question now?
And my question is that those who read that book, who are not members of the Nation of Islam, that they really want to understand the book. And I'd like to know why he put certain segments of lessons in the book, and he's supposed to be giving the catechism to the lessons, but he don't give any catechism.
All right. Imam, hold your thought on that. Hold your answer. We'll get the answer to that question coming up in a few. Very interesting gentleman who's on the air with us this morning, all the way from Chicago, the chief imam of the American Muslim Mission, Dean Warith Dean Mohammed. We're at 261-WRNG if you'd like to join us today. We are going to be going to the telephone, take quite a few phone calls coming in, because in the last half hour we've been talking primarily about some very elementary elements of the Islamic faith, or the al-Islam religion, as we were talking about a few minutes ago. 261-WRNG. Now, the question, though, that was brought up just before the sports and the traffic update from a listener was that he read your book. He wants to know why it has such a negative concept, why it has such negative connotations. He says, to the average reader, to the average person who picks this book up off the bookstore's shelves, As the Light Shineth from the East, they're not going to get a fair representation of what you believe and what your Islamic beliefs really hold.
Yes, for those believers in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they would either see the book as an effort to open the eyes for progress in the religion, or they would see it as a negative treatment of the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I would say to a person like the caller that I don't know how familiar he is with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teachings,
mm-hmm.
But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that he would not be always with us, and that not even the religion would be the same always. He said, someone will come after me. He said, and the next one may use some of what we have and may decide not to use anything of what we have. Well, if someone comes behind him and decide, in his own words, and decide not to use all of what he has, there's something that must be have some explanation for it, and we have to criticize in the best manner we possibly can. And I think that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a psychologist of the mind of his people, and I think he knew how to shock us sometimes in the right direction. And I admit that some of the things I say there have shock effect, but I've done it in good faith with good intention.
I think one of the interesting things, as far as shock effect, for example, you have a chapter, Human Nature is Black. You say that's not to say that everybody is black, should be black, or could be black, but you're talking about intelligence potential, as you say. What do you mean by that?
Yes. If we could conceive the world before it was civilized, before there was a civilized man on it, we would have to see some man sitting in the dark of his mind, in darkness as to what his purpose is in life, and thinking, reaching out with his thoughts. That's what I mean by darkness. We began as thinkers, thinking in the darkness, trying to find our purpose in this world, trying to find our relationship to the realities of this world. And that desire in us was answered by God. God, his will working in creation and in us, guided us to see how to find our purpose in life. For the atheist, he will say, reality influenced man's thought and guided him to see that reality, you see, to see his place, his role in life. So by blackness, we're talking about, as you say, the innate intelligence of man and his innate qualities. They are there, but they are not yet expressed, so we can say that we have enlightenment in the world.
Okay, we've got about a minute here. You say that this book exposes myths of the Bible. Name a few for me.
Well, there are many myths in the Bible. Many people think that Eve was a physical, literally, person, was an actual person.
You say she wasn't.
Yes, I say she wasn't. although we do believe that man, male mated with female, and if we can see Eve in the plural and Adam in the plural, then I accept it, I could accept it. And I believe that's what the Bible says, too.
What's another myth?
Yes. Well, another myth is we some of us believe that Satan is some separate power from God, with some independence, some power of his own, or some independence. Satan is no more than a incorrect disposition in the mind and spirit of the person, and we can be influenced from the environment, from the spiritual. Environment of Satan, and if we think of Satan as a spiritual being, we must see him as the evils in society and the influences of those evils.
But you don't think that he's not a real, in your opinion, he's not a real presence, an individual entity,
except as he exists in us as an incorrect, malformed attitude of spirit or disposition.
Well, is God a real entity?
Certainly he is.
He's not something that just exists.
God has reality. God exists.
Why does he have reality but Satan doesn't?
Because Satan is a change in the attitude of the person.
I see.
Yes, whereas God has substance and reality.
And to the Imam Warith Mohammed, 261 WRNG, this morning on Ring Radio.
Yes, I would like to talk to Warith D. Mohammed. I am a minister of the Most Honorable Elijah Mohammed, the Nation of Islam, and Warith D. does not represent us. One, he's leading the people to get a false impression of himself, that the messenger, that he was some kind of divine person to come in after the messenger, which is false, and his father states this, and I would like to challenge him right now at any time to a debate, and I would prove this to the people.
What would you say to that?
First thing here, he has said something. I don't know where he's coming from, hearsay or what. If he's coming from hearsay, then he's the victim of hearsay. If he's coming from his own knowledge, then he is actually telling something that's not true. I've never presented myself as any divine. I've condemned that from the very start. It was wrong for us to see Farad Muhammad as a divine. It was wrong for us to think that my father was a divine. We don't believe in that. Our holy book condemns that. And all of Elijah Muhammad introduced us to our holy book. And nothing did he put above our holy book. He didn't put himself. He didn't put the teachings of Farah Muhammad. He didn't put anything above our holy book. And our holy book condemns any man saying he's divine.
261 WRNG. This is Ring Radio.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes. Brother Imam, in Atlanta, we are confronted with quite a few crises. And there seems to be quite a concerted attempt of people from all races to come together and try to work to solve some of the problems that we're faced with. But in our attempts to do this, the concepts of black and white seem to be one of the greatest stumbling blocks. Would you please elaborate on these concepts in an attempt to help us cross this particular bridge?
Yes, first, in the interest of the followers of Allah, Elijah Muhammad, who I believe are mostly with us today, I would like to first say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, while he was teaching black militancy and black dignity and black pride, black supremacy, even taught black supremacy.
Let me interrupt for just a moment. It's going to be a rather lengthy answer.
Foods under health foods in your yellow pages.
The question posed to the Imam Warith Mohammed a moment ago was dealing with his comments on the black and white issue in Atlanta, but also it exists all over the United States, indeed all over the world.
That's true. And it exists for us, I think, as much as it exists for some of the most extreme white races today, you know, when we were under the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But what I was about to get to was the sobering effect of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching on our tendencies to give ourselves to extremism. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, you are a nation, not a race. He told us we are a nation, not a race. He excluded white people as being a foreign creation in earth, and kind of artificial creation. And he had the myth about the creation of white people on the island of Pelon, or island of Patmos, by some kind of genius, black genius. But all of this is myth, and when we understand how to interpret it, what we see is that Farad Muhammad, the mystic that taught my father, he formed an ingenious interpretation of really concepts in Genesis. The Christians who study this, they can see that connection. But because we're not the products of a theological school or anything, and we weren't educated people, for most of the history of our organization, the educational level wasn't above about seventh grade elementary school, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So with educated people coming into the organization in the 60s, 50s, the late 50s and 60s, a kind of search for intelligent answers to questions came. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad began to treat that need for a higher understanding in his community. And in his last speech, he invited us to respect people. He pointed to a Caucasian on the rostrum, on the podium, and he said, "This man is a Muslim, and he's a high man. He's called him a scientist in our religion." And he said, "If white people can accept us, then we must accept white people. We must accord them the same respect that they accord us." The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was going really stretching himself to say those things, because he was, as you know, the preacher of fiery racism. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad demonstrated in his personal life his really belief, his personal belief in that. In the last 2 years of his life, he had Herb Kupcinet, a Jew, at his home. They had dinner together. They talked to each other as friends. And the proof of that friendship is that Herb Kupcinet paid tribute to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his column and remembers his birthday every year almost. He remembers the birthday of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And lastly, I hope I can get this in, the man that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad introduced us as being God, his mother was a white woman, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that.
Okay, we'll get into that in just a few moments. The Imam Warith Muhammad, along with the regional Imam of the American Muslim Mission, will continue with us, and they'll stay with us into the next hour. We'll pause for the CBS News and Bruce Bartley's update coming up here in the next few moments. Stay with us, and we'll talk a little bit more about the book, As the Light Shineth from the East. And also in the next hour, we'll concentrate on taking quite a few phone calls on Ring Radio at 261. First Christmas shopping week off and underway, and thanks for joining us today. We have a very interesting couple of guests in the studios with us this morning, the Imam Warith Muhammad, who's the chief imam of the American Muslim Mission. He's also the author of a book called As the Light Shineth from the East, which we've been talking about. Also the regional Imam, Ibrahim Basha, who's with us this morning. Very interesting questions that have been coming up from our listeners. And we're going to go back to the telephones and concentrate this 45 minutes, since they've agreed to stay with us into this hour, and concentrate this 45 minutes on taking phone calls. We'd like yours. You got a question, a comment, 261-WRNG, and the area code is 404. Steve Thompson and Walter Denman in the Weather Center, Bruce Bartley watching the news, Beverly Molander on the traffic, and Larry Munson will be here on sports also coming up this hour with more news on that decision that may or may not be coming today with University of Georgia head coach Vince Dooley and his possible move to Auburn. If you haven't heard about that, it could happen. We'll get into that about a half an hour from now. Let's go back to the telephones, and you're on Ring Radio.
You're making a lot of outlandish statements against the messenger, and you did not answer my last question fully. I challenge you to a debate to bring these charges you're making, because you're just making them and then just throwing them out there and then getting away with them.
Well, first of all, you've already been on once, sir. We got a four-day rule. Second of all, do you... Hold it, sir. Do you want to debate this man?
I don't think we have the time today.
I don't mean on the air.
You get in touch with me. Send me a letter. Let me know where you want to debate. And we'll debate before the people that understand your language. We'll debate before the Muslims.
All right.
And I have the majority of them with me.
You're on Ring Radio.
Am I on?
Go ahead.
Yes. Imam Muhammad, I will have a question. I have a tape of Savior's Day, 1965, where it was a tape a few days after Malcolm X was killed. Whereas that was the tape where you came and apologized for your actions, and you had accepted, you had asked the Nation of Islam at that particular time to accept you back for judging your father in the belief, in the way that you believe now, in terms of where you said that you disagreed with your father on who was God and what was God. And you came on Savior's Day that particular year, 1965, and you came in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, and in the name of his messenger, my father, Elijah Muhammad.
And no, you're not correct. If you would play the tape, you'll see that you're not quoting the tape.
Okay. Now, I just played the tape this morning, matter of fact, and this morning, a few minutes before, I had called in.
I assure you, not correct.
Well, I don't know when the last time that you listened to that, but I have it verbatim where you said, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings upon his messenger, my father.
Okay, now hold on just a minute. For all of us who are not a part of the Islamic faith, what is he talking about?
Well, he's talking about terminology, that's all. And if he would understand the lessons says, you must learn the terminology so you learn how to speak well.
That's not the point.
You need to understand that terminology, and you need to understand...